happiness is out there,
but out there is very big.
You've never been good at finding things.
You once got lost in a boots.
Hello and welcome to Jolly and the Baptist. Happiness is out there. This week it is a voice notes podcast, which we sometimes do. It's a lot of fun. And we're going to do a voice note podcast this week because we tried last night to do a proper podcast. Well, proper, I don't know. They're both equally proper. But we tried to do one in the traditional way, two people talking, microphones, even filming through a clever app that we have, which we're not mentioning the name of because they refuse to sponsor us, even though we haven't asked. And we tried that, but we listened back and it was so awful that we decided not to put it out. And when I say so awful, I mean we were just so tired that it was just, you know, bilge. It was real bilge. I talked a lot about Matthew Perry, about whom I'm very sad, and I'm not going to pretend otherwise. A comic genius. I never met him, of course. Although I have met David Schwimmer, so I say of course, like, you know, it's impossible. I mean, maybe I could have met him. I should have done. I wish I had. But very sad about his death, personally. And I've been watching Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip from 2006, which he was in. Aaron Sorkin was about sort of doing a kind of Saturday Night Live style show. Don't know if you've seen it. It's on Amazon Prime, but I don't think it's free on Amazon. I think I bought it, but I think I bought it about 10 years ago. So it's free to me. It was free when I tried to watch it earlier, but that is because I've bought it. So you'd have to do that to get it free, in which case you'd have bought it, so it wouldn't be complicated, isn't it? But either way, I'm absolutely delighted to be doing a voice note podcast because I would find them a lot of fun. Paddy and I chat. I think Paddy is currently on the train to Bristol to go to a wedding of a dear friend of his. So I'm going to be messaging from home, my normal life, and Paddy's going to be messaging from the route to a wedding and a wedding, which sounds quite fun. So this is the first bit. I'm just kicking us off, and I'm going to say, Paddy, how's the wedding / how's the journey? Take it away, very nice person.
Hello. Oh, we'll use this one instead. I just recorded a voice note for Johnny, and I was running through the streets of Bristol to get to a wedding that I was late for because of the storm and the trains and my incompetence as a person. But I'm now at the wedding, and it turns out I got the wrong time, which is actually a blessing because I'm actually 15 minutes early, and I was going to be, I thought, 45 minutes late. So this is really good news for Pads. Lovely message. Lovely to hear your voice, Johnny. I'm very glad that we tanked the episode last night, both from a creative standpoint and tired time standpoint. I was so exhausted, and so were you, and I'm so proud of us for trying to push through. Yesterday was one of those sort of 13 to 14 hour work days, whilst there's also a lot of other stuff going on. And if you try and not even be fun, I don't think our podcast is necessarily about trying to be fun or anything, but if you then try and sit down and actually have a chat, I think your brain is already turned off by that point. It's normally when you'd have a drink in sort of, you know, stony silence and stare at nothing. No, we gave it a really good go, and now we're doing this today, which is great. I sent a voice note, which won't be included in the podcast, which is me running up a hill. And there's so much wind and so many drills that it's basically totally unusable. And I could just hear, I listened back to it, and I could just hear people screaming behind me. Not because I caused a fire or anything like that, but like, I think there was just, so it was in the city centre, and it's Saturday, and it's, oh no, it's not Saturday, it's Friday, fuck. I can calm down a bit now. Podcasts are very soothing. I'm going to have a lovely time at this wedding. I had a wardrobe malfunction on the way here. I've managed to sort it out. I didn't realise there was a dress code. I know there was a dress code, like a wedding dress code, but there was like a theme beyond that I had not looked at on the wedding website. So I grabbed a number of items as I left the house, the combination of which together did make me look like some kind of undertaker. So I've sort of sorted that out, I think. I think I look nice, but I'm now very sweaty. I also made the odd choice of putting thermals on before I left the house. So I went, oh, storm, thermals. What I didn't think is that the storm meant that it would be incredibly hot and humid. Because I'm wearing a suit, I don't really have pockets. So I'm now just carrying around what looks like a sort of child's pajamas or a sort of technician's outfit from a theatre just in my left hand. So I'm going to see if I can lose it somewhere in the church. Anyway, I love you lots. I love everyone at home. I'm okay. I'm feeling a bit better than I did yesterday. How are you? And how are you at home? Send us your notes. Oh, fuck, before I forget as well, we have a voice note from a listener that I'd like to include. It's from the lovely Robert Wells, who it's going to be our first listener submission voice to the podcast. So maybe I'll put that in this episode. Well, that's going to be hard because Johnny won't have heard it. Anyway, don't worry. We'll sort that. Isn't that exciting? Bye. Hey, Johnny. I'm doing follow-up in a break from tradition, just because you've been busy today. So I've now been to the whole wedding. Well, I've been to two-thirds of the wedding, and I'm having to leave early to get the train home. So I'm walking through Bristol again. And I thought I'd message you to further the narrative of the podcast. Hello. I hope you've had a nice day. I'm sure it's probably been very stressful, because all days are. Isn't that funny? It's just got more stressful. It's not a bad thing necessarily, but we've gotten more busy every year, which I guess is sort of the goal, I guess. But now we've entered a point where it's just sort of snatching time when and where we can. So I want to send you a quick message and say hello. I'm leaving the wedding. Wedding was good. I was on time because the same travel trauma that caused me to be late caused the bride and groom to be late. So I was fine. I was totally fine. I was fine by an hour because everything was a disaster. Can I cross this road? Yeah, I can. I'm just going to cross this road and then... One sec, Johnny. Come on. And now I'm walking to the session. Hearing screaming, it is just the denizens of Bristol. I assure you, I'm doing the job of being a person who's not making people scream. Okay. Oh, it's a loud gong. Oh, fuck. I kicked a bottle. There was a loud conversation. It set me in a spiral. I'm fine. I am going on the train. Getting the last train back to London. All the trains are still buggered. So we shall see if that actually happens. I really hope it does, because I desperately need to be home. I've had a lovely day. What a good wedding. Really good wedding. It was quite gothic. It was very much a wedding with a theme. You know, where everyone's sort of wearing a thing or eating a thing. It was one of those. I had a lovely time. I didn't know anyone there. So I was sat with the other comedy adjacent people or comedy direct people. I was sat with little Alex Horn, who text man, you know it, Taskmaster. Which was a delight, others, extraordinaire. So that was very good, and then it became clear quite late in the evening that I had to leave earlier than everyone else, that everyone else got to the hotel, because they all had mortgages, and, that's lovely, but I have to go home. So I've taken off, but I had a really nice time. It's odd flying solo at a wedding. It's fine when there's like a group of 10 of you who you all know flying solo, but this was very much a group of one of me And I have utmost respect for my friend who was getting married, because she clearly had put some kind of, like a kill switch in place, being like, look, this guy's in his own, look after him. Everyone else knows each other. Also, that's a huge honor, I think, to have a friend from school who is like, no, you're going to be at my wedding. You'll know no one that I'm delighted you're here. I danced with her, which is something I don't do. I had a lovely time doing it. So that was very nice. And everyone was very kind to me. And immediately, Alex was like, hey, we gigged together 10 years ago. And you don't know anyone here, so come and join our gang. And I met various people throughout the evening. Someone came up to me at some point and said, I haven't seen you since we were 12 years old, trying beer for the first time at Ali's house. And that was 20 years ago. I was delighted to be remembered and to be able to have an additional friend for the evening. I wanted to open a conversation based on this message, which is, an interesting thing about this wedding. The groom is a musician and a very, very talented singer and bass player, and quite famous, as far as I can tell, as well. And his band, both his, both his past band, you know, from last life, previous life, past life, like a life within the last couple of years, and his new band were both performing at the wedding, and it opened up a conversation about whether or not you would perform at your own event, be it a wedding, be it a christening, that'd be weird. Be it, an anniversary, whatever, whether you'd feel like you were comfortable being like, and part of the entertainment is me, the person who you've chosen to come and support today. I told a very long story, well, I'm sure wasn't that interesting, about how one of my cousins, who is a celebrated bongo player, loves bongos. God, he loves those bongos. When I went to his wedding about 12 years ago, the very good band of probably 10 to 15 members at some point in the evening invited him up on stage and said, and now the groom is going to join us for a song. And everyone went crazy. Oh my God, the groom. And then he played bongos for Groovers in the Heart by D-Light. You know, a very bongo-centric song, I will admit. I'm pissed, aren't I? A very bongo song. But it was odd because they had these 15 people or so set up with mics and amps. A lead singer and a lead guitarist and all the sort of flashy stuff. And then he, at his own wedding, stood at the back of the band and played bongos. And it was quite far away from the action. And it was brilliant. You know, he's a good bongo player. He can bongo with the best of them. But there was still a slight sort of, what are you doing? Like, this is your one day. We all get one day. Doesn't have to be a wedding, but we all get one day in this big life of ours to have a nice time. And you've chosen to spend half of it, not half of it, you've played bongos for 9 hours. But like, you've chosen to spend a portion of that playing bongos with a band that you don't know. Maybe he did know them. I don't know. And I found that very unusual. So I was like, that's going to take up your like 9 till 10 p.m., right? Playing bongos with a band. And if you get one day, you're there. She's having a lovely day. If you get one day, would you spend it on that? Anyway, I wanted to ask whether, Jonathan Donohoe, you would choose, say you were to get married or you were to have a big anniversary party, for John and the Baptist to play, because obviously people there are there to support you, have a lovely day. You would then have to commit yourself to that. I know that I probably couldn't do that, because if I did, I'd probably think about that all day, or at least a portion of that. It would become a worry. Anyway, goodbye.
Well, thank you so much for this wonderful voice note. Terrific. You are obviously having a lovely time, and it's nice to sort of hear there's some good live Foley as you walk through the drunken streets of Bristol on the way to the train station. And it's nice because, well, I don't think you've ever been drunk on this podcast before, so that's something very charming. I'm obviously sober, but it's midnight. I've just got home from date night with MasterChef quarterfinalist Josie Long. And we went out. We had I live in an old tenement building, a sort of tenement terrace. And Josie and I, we have the top flat in a close, and just below us is an absolutely wonderful couple called Kathleen. They live with their son, who's in his 30s. And Kathleen and Gus have become very good friends of ours. They're absolutely lovely. They come to all the Baptist gigs during the festival. They come over to Edinburgh for it. They come through, which is lovely. And they've been to see us at gigs in Glasgow as well. They're really good people. And anyway, the point is that Kathleen babysat for us tonight. So Josie and I had a genuine date. We went to a very nice, fun, kind of bougie bar. And Josie had a sort of non-alcoholic Bramble cocktail. I had something, I can't remember. And we played a game of Monopoly Deal, because we're very, very cool. And then we went to a place called Big Counter, which sort of does sort of French tapas. It's not tapas, but it's very French-style food, but it's all small plates, and you order quite a few of it, which I'm an enormous fan of, because I look at a menu and I'm like, yes, we'll have it all. And that's basically, they've got like 8 things on the menu and you pick 6 of them. So you know, well, I don't want this. That looks awful, but the rest we'll have. So that's a very good way to have dinner, in my view. So that was my evening. So it was all equally fun. We both had a fun Friday night. There's no question about that. And I very much enjoyed hearing about the wedding and hanging out with Mr. Alex Horn, who I've realised now, I haven't really thought about it, but we've known for a very long time, because we used to regularly sing songs with the horn section at their sort of live Edinburgh shows and London shows. And I've suddenly realised that actually Alex is probably now very famous. But, you know, because he's such a humble, gentle, delightful, sort of very kind of down-to-earth sort of person, it doesn't seem like he's a megastar. But I mean, he's basically, you know, let's be honest, probably bigger he's probably as big as a Spice Girl right now, isn't he? You know, not a Spice Girl in the 90s, but he's as famous right now as not posh, but like maybe Mel C. So that's quite for you. Not the most famous ones, but like the less famous, one of the Mels, it is a horn, I think, at the moment. And, you know, it might not last. You know, I'm not saying, you know, I hope it lasts for Alex. You know, he's worked hard, he deserves the career. But, you know, he's more famous than any of the All Saints. That's what I'm absolutely certain about. Anyway, I very much enjoyed that. And I was thinking, yes, I think you said that. So it was a very famous bass player and singer. You were discussing playing in the band, and I thought, in the wedding. And then I thought, is it Sting? And then I remembered Sting's married to Trudy Styler, so it's probably not Sting. He was with his old band and his new band. Now, so he's talking about Police and his new band, Sting. But anyway, that's all by the by. The only person I know, or rather the only wedding I've ever been to where the bride or groom has performed was the wedding of one of my dearest friends in the whole world, Mr. Daniel Manalil, a patron supporter. Thank you, Daniel. One of the world's kindest, most patient, most loving, and dare I say it, one of the funniest, probably the funniest person I've ever met in my life, in real life. The person who I think is genuinely the funniest person. He is an astonishingly funny human being. And I've known Danny since we were both about, 14, 15. And nobody makes me laugh as much as he does. And we wrote together for a long time, performed together. And he performed, anyway, I'm getting off the subject and just being generous about how much I love this person, and I do. He's wonderful. But I was at his wedding, and I was one of the ushers, you know, the groomsmen. And I was having a lovely day. I really did. It was great. It was at Kew Gardens. And, you know, so it was nice. You know, with the whole, everything about it was a touch of class, I will say that. And, but having had this beautiful wedding, everyone was in. Danny had made an effort by everyone of the groomsmen, not just a tie, but a beautiful new dress shirt to wear with your suit. So you wore your own suit, but he'd bought you a new shirt, and he'd bought you cufflinks and a tie, I think, or something. So we were really smart, and it was beautiful. It was at Kew Gardens, and they got married in the Orangery, and a sort of a local South London band played. Sort of beautiful, sort of really kind of wonderful music. I think sort of Cuban-y sort of, well, sort of Caribbean music. I can't remember what it was, but Danny's wife is from one of the Caribbean islands. I really got stuck there. I was worried. I don't want to say the wrong word. Trinidad and Tobago. And so this was sort of very appropriate. And it was the Buena Vista. Anyway, I'm tired and I'm whittering, but sorry everyone. But the Buena Vista Social Club, it was one of their songs. It was played by a sort of a band, but they were from the local area and they were brilliant and it was lovely. And there were some wonderful, I think some brilliant things happened at the wedding. There were some wonderful readings. I read, for instance, and it was a beautiful ceremony. Everyone was so dressed up. It was so glamorous. And then it was like a champagne reception. It was so nice and the food was incredible and the speeches were just so heartfelt and down to earth and genuine and earnest. And then Danny's band played. And it was as much a tonal shift as that sounded. So Danny's band were chiefly a covers band. They had a handful of their own hits, but they mostly were sort of a pub rock covers band that played sort of rock and blues. And you know what? They weren't bad at all. In fact, they were pretty good. But they weren't in keeping with the tone of the event. And I remember thinking that because also every member of the band is a very close friend of Danny's. The lead guitarist was his best man. The drummer, a very close friend. And the bass player, a very good friend of the podcast, very good friend of mine and Paddy's, Chad Mason, who we've worked with a lot, who's just an incredible musician and one of Danny's best friends, one of my best friends, a wonderful human being. So all of them are, let's be honest, smashed. And they get up and they I can't remember what they performed, but to be honest, I'm certain neither could they as they were doing it. But you know what? It was magical. And the reason it was magical was because it was sort of performed as earnestly and as heartfeltly as the poetry readings. There was as much genuine sort of passion for it. They weren't ironic. They just wanted to play, and I think they played a cover, not one of their originals. They just wanted to play a song and really kind of show the emotional depth of their love through that music. And actually, it was rather wonderful. Now, Danny is a terrific, extraordinary artist. He's a writer, he's a performer, he's a comic, he's writing a book at the moment, and he's written, well, we've written old sitcoms together, we've written sketches, we've written for other people, we wrote lots of stuff together. He still writes, he still performs, but chiefly, and I think this is important, he's not a rock musician by trade, and therefore, doing this at his wedding seemed rather glorious and beautiful. But if he'd got up and did what he did as a day job, it might have seemed very indulgent. And I think, were we to perform a Johnny and the Baptist set at my wedding or your wedding, it would just look like we were trying to get a gig out of the opportunity rather than something we really... I mean, I suppose there's a logic to it, but if we didn't do songs, then it would be appropriate, I think, for us to consider doing a song at a wedding, at one of our own weddings. But because we do songs, I'll be like, well, we should then do something. We should read, you know, we should perform a soliloquy from Shakespeare, because that would be beautiful. There's a little bit of the old dinner came up there. Anyway, that's my big thought. Well, look, I think that's enough for today. It's very, very late. I hope this has been a fun experience for you listening. And we'll switch over to the Patreon podcast now. If you are in a position to do so, please support us on Patreon. And you can listen to the second half of this, as well as more episodes of our hilarious cooking series. There's live videos. There's also new recorded videos. And we drop in songs and chat, and we send you videos and all sorts of things. It's definitely worth it if you can support us, because it keeps us going. And also, it's very, very nice. Goodbye.
Hello. Gosh, what a lovely message. It was very... sorry, I was about to say, it was very long, but in a nice way. Like, I'm sat on the train coming home. We are 20 minutes from London, which is a disaster, because it means I just miss all the trains home. So it's going to be a long night bus walking session for Paddy. It's just not ideal, because tomorrow I'm meant to be helping a friend sand their floors, because I'm a good guy. Now, I am sending this message in the assumption that the man sat 13 seats ahead of me has his headphones in, because I'm in the quiet carriage, and I hold the quiet carriage to be sacred, because it really, I always get the same seat in the quiet carriage. It's always A46 on my journey up to Glasgow and back. And currently I am sat in A60, which is when you get the GWR, not the Avanti West Coast. That is not interesting. Or the Umbria. Anyway, so I hope he's got his headphones in, so I'm not being annoying. I think he does, because he's not reacting. Hello? Hello? No, he's not reacting. It's fine. Or he's very polite, and he knows that I'm doing a podcast, which is of utmost importance. I just want to respond very quickly and say, well done, everyone. There's probably a lot of train noise, but I'll clean it up in post. Don't you worry about it, Johnny. I'm probably actually going to respond to everything you said over on the Patreon, because I've got a lot of big thoughts, and we have to record two podcast episodes tonight, which actually I'm very pleased about. It's given me something to do this whole time. I've got to listen to you, I've got to say my thing, you know, it's been wild. But I want to make sure I get to London and have finished all of our work, so that I could focus on building my friend's house tomorrow, and then I'll try and take a day off on Sunday. Whether that'll happen, we don't know, because then I'm up in Glasgow on Monday. So I'm just going to say, thoughts over on Patreon. If you'd like to join us there, as Johnny said, that would be a delight. www.patreon.com/JohnnyandTheBaptist. It's a real good time for friends, and it's a real good time for friends. That's what I'm gonna say. Pretty solid advert for it there. But genuinely, I mean, for example, if you do that, we can do shows, which is kind of cool, right? Like, we can then do gigs, you can come to the gigs, we can say hello, we can do the songs. It's going to be really good. And you get all the extra bonus content stuff. Anyway, Johnny's already settled this. I'm not just doing a big advert, but it would be really appreciated, because as the arts
spirals further and further into a lack of funding crisis, and the government continues to throttle us at Dingoris as a viable means for society to be happy. It unfortunately falls to friends, family, fans, and forever buds, audiences, to help keep us going. Anyway, this isn't a play. What am I doing? I love you very much, Johnny. I love you very much, everyone listening. I don't say that just generously. The reason I was able to go to this wedding today is because people supported on Patreon. I was able to take some of that money and go to a wedding, which otherwise I wouldn't have been able to because my rent is too high, the world is too flat. Anyway, lots of love. Be well. I'll see you over on Patreon for my thoughts on, I've made a list, Tapas, Celebrity Alex Hall, Mel B, Sting Story, Danny Fun. That's because I think Danny's a fun boy. Danny's Wedding. I was not there, but I have thoughts. Passionate Band. I'm sure that's going to be a humbinger. And Baptist's Own Wedding. You know, I've got thoughts on everything. Also, I want to talk about the NFL briefly. Because that was something that came up in a different voice note with someone else. I've realized that I'm thinking about a different conversation. Anyway, I love you. Thank you for listening to Johnny and the Baptist. Happiness is out there with me, your host, Paddy Jervis, and my dog, John Don. Bye-bye.
If happiness is even real, then
finding it is not for you.
But it's never too late to give up. Everyone will only let you down. What doesn't kill you will hurt you. Do you really want to take the risk? What goes up must come down. So maybe stop going up altogether. What goes around comes around.